Let's turn together to Psalm 95. Psalm 95, B. Down at the bottom of the page, it stands as 5 through 9. The small pages there are just the verse numbers. The large numbers are 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 are stanza numbers. I'll read the first stanza, and I ask that you read the second responsively. O come and let us worship him. Let us with one accord in presence of our Maker kneel and bow before the Lord.
Because he only is our God, and we his chosen sheep, the people of his pasturage, whom his own hand will lead.
Today, if you will hear his voice, then harden not your heart. Strive not as those at Meribah, nor Massa's testing start.
Your fathers tried and tempted me, though they my work perceived, and with that generation I for 40 years was grieved.
I said, they have a wandering heart, and they my ways detest. In wrath I swore they should not come into my promised rest. I've titled this part of the chapter, A Call to God's Service. And we ordinarily think at this time of day, in this place, and with everybody else here right now, if I were to ask you what the service of God was, you'd begin talking about, well, we sing and we pray and we give and we preach and we do these things. This is the worship service. But if I were to ask you what the service of God is on Monday as you start to work, or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday, or you would say, well, yes, this is God's service. I'm doing this as unto the Lord. But is this worship service? It is. These other days are just as much worship service as this is. And we're right both times. This is a worship service. And those days are a worship service. But here, and that's what we're talking about, oh, come and let us worship him. Let us with one accord in presence of our Maker kneel and bow before the Lord. I've wondered sometimes, maybe when we're in the new building, it'll have carpet on the floor, understand? Maybe we'd come to the place of having an opportunity to kneel. In many of the churches throughout Europe, you can kneel. There's enough room between the chairs, you can kneel. And we humble ourselves. We need to humble ourselves. I had a friend, Ken Smith, who for years practiced that in the pulpit, after he came into the pulpit. He would kneel and ask God's blessing on what was going to take place there that day. And this is the attitude with which we come now as we kneel before our God, in giving to him something of his worship, her ladyship, his lordship. We don't know how to give ship the way they do in Britain and some of those other countries where they have royalty. It's always the ship. I don't know how they get that in there. But we're giving to God something of his worship. And that's an awesome, awesome thought. And God identifies the kind of thing that ruins that. In stanza 7, today, if you will, hear his voice. I brought my little picture. I think I showed you this picture before about the little dog. Thompson Electronics got me this. And it is an antique. I just went over and asked for a picture of a picture. But they had this as one of the old pictures back there, and they gave it to me. And I told them how I could remember. I think that's what shocked them. The Victrola that we wound up by hand, and no electricity. We wound it up by hand, and we put the platter on there, and it began rolling around, and apparently one of the first things they did was had the master of this little dog speak. And always before, when the master had spoken, the little dog could see him. But now the little dog hears his master's voice, but he can't see him. And that counts for the puzzled expression there as he looks down that horn. And he knows that that's his master's voice, but he can't see his master. the very real sense of the word, that's the way it is with us. Every time we open this book, every time we open this book, a living God speaks through the living word to our living souls. And we respond then to a living God. We hear our Master's voice here in this book. If you're not a Christian yet, then you don't really recognize that he's not your master. But the minute a person becomes a Christian, a believer, then he recognizes the things are being said here as being the words of the master. And when we are hearing the master's voice instead of and responding to it, instead of striving not as those at Meribah nor Massa's testing, these words are quoted three times in Hebrews 3 and 4. Today, if you will, hear his voice. Don't harden your heart the way they did there. Today, if you will, hear his voice. Don't harden your heart the way they did at Massa Meribah. Today, if you will, hear his voice. Don't harden your heart the way they did at Meribah. At Meribah and Massa, that goes clear back there into Exodus. And they're coming out of Promised Land, and Moses had just gotten them out of that captivity there. They were slaves, but they got out there, they got thirsty. And so they began complaining immediately. You brought us out here to kill us. We're just going to die out here. It'd be better to be slaves back there than to be out here dead. And that was sort of typical of the entire 40 years that they wandered in the wilderness. And it's typical of people today who, yeah, they open the book and they read it, but they have a, what I call a yes-but attitude. I understand what you're saying, God, but that's not for me. Or, yeah, I guess I see what you're saying, but. It's that resistance to his will and to that living voice that comes down to us, and that'll kill worship. That will absolutely kill worship. Whether it's worship during the week and what we're doing, or whether it's worship in here. In singing and praying and giving and just enjoying each other and the Lord together here, if we have that yes but attitude, it'll kill it. And so he says, don't let that take place, because when that takes place, then the end of it is, I just said to Moses there that day in the wilderness, I'm going to cut this whole nation of people off. I'm through with them. And Moses came back and he says, God, you can't do that. Because you do, and these people are known by your name, then think about what everybody else will think. You yourself weren't even able to rescue them. And so God responded to Moses' intercession, and he did give them more chance. He restored them again. And I don't know how often that has happened to you as a believer, as a Christian. But God says, don't let that take place. Don't let that take place. Come and worship him. Let us with one accord in presence of our Maker kneel and bow before the Lord. Because he only is our God. We his chosen sheep. A little bit humbling to refer yourself to a mutton head. I shouldn't say that. But to a sheep. A sheep. That's humbling. That's humbling. We are his chosen sheep, though. We're not just any sheep. We're his chosen sheep. The people of his pasturage, whom his own hand will keep. So today, if you will, hear his voice. Don't be the way they were. Today, if you will, hear his voice. Don't take up that other attitude. That'll kill your worship, your whole relationship. Well, your fellowship, not the relationship, but the fellowship with him. And then the last two stanzas are an example of that and of God's attitude towards that. Let's sing together now, 95B. And do you want to tell us what's going to take place, Dean?
You know, we normally sing 96A a lot, but 96B, the tune, is not real familiar with us. But we have a deck tent minus one singing that for us just to outline the tune. So let's stand and be the first two stanzas. They will sing it in unison, the first stanza, so you know the melody, and then they'll sing the second stanza in harmony so you can pick out parts.
Oh, come and let us worship him. Let us make my
heaven, we don't want to grieve you and contest you in the way that nation did for 40 years. We want to respond to you. We want to hear your word, the voice of the Master, our Master. In this worship service, we want to hear your word. Would you speak through Rich and the scriptures this morning in such a way that we could hear your word, we could hear your voice and recognize that? Lord, we don't want to grieve you or contest you. We want to respond in order to give to you something of your worship. And we thank you for inviting us into your house now, setting aside a whole day in your calendar just for the express purpose of meeting with us in a special way and inviting us to your house to meet with other of the tribes who come up to you. Thank you, Lord, for inviting us here today. And we'd ask that you would bless Rich now as he opens the word and cause every part of this worship service to be pleasing to you. Our singing, our praying, our giving, our thinking together, that every part of this would be giving to you something of your worship. In Jesus' name, amen.